Blog Talk Radio.
Check it out. All right. Well, this is just fantastic, folks, as I could not hear the opening act, the opening sound. It sounds like the play of the Rangers in the defensive zone of late. So we had a little technical difficulties. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Blue Shirt Banter Radio. Hopefully, I'll be able to hear my phone callers, because I have heard absolutely nothing. And this is going to be a little test in internet radio engineering. It's the mouth tonight, sitting in for the great Jim Schmiedeberg on Blue Shirt Banter Radio. Jim is on assignment, which means he had to go visit his in-laws. And that is quite an assignment, since his in-laws are quite a bunch of characters. Tonight, we've got a fantastic show for you. We got Mandor is going to be joining me as the co-host. He's good enough to come in and help us out here on a Tuesday night. There's about three or four games going on right now. We'll try to keep you abreast of what's going on. And I hope the people in the chat room will bear with me as I stumble through this non-listening version of Blue Shirt Banter Radio. And hopefully, because we got a big guest tonight, and I hope nothing goes wrong. So I'm probably going to bring on Mandaw just to check it out. We've got a great guest. Kevin Miller has agreed and been so gracious to agree to join us tonight. If you don't know about Kevin Miller, younger folks, he played with the Rangers from 88 to 91. He was known for his hustle, a great two-way player. He played on 9 teams in his NHL career, and it wasn't for the lack of his play that he got traded so much. I'd like to get into it to see why he got traded so much. He was a terrific player, and he was, what embodies the Ranger fan embodies themselves as somebody who goes out there and hustles 24/7. He was a fan favorite, and we'll get to him in just a second. Now I'm going to try to bring on Mandar here, and let's talk to Mandar, and hopefully everything is okay as far as this goes. Mandar, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Mouth. Good to be here.
That is not a good sign, ladies and gentlemen.
Why?
Let's try some other things here. Oh, boy. I tell you, this is the worst here. Mandar, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Mouth. Can you hear me?
What is going on here? We have technical difficulties abound. Oh, this is my worst nightmare on Ranger Blue Shirt Banner Radio. I almost forgot the name of the show here. Holy cannoli. This is going to bug me. Since Jim is not around, he's going to say, hey, you did a soliloquy for 2 hours, but I've got to work this technical problem out. And unfortunately, in this case, there's nobody to talk. Let's see what we got here. It's going to take a bit. What some of the subjects we were going to talk about, is the Team Unity of the Rangers, as well as the Glenn Cross jury problem. And my apologies to Kevin. I'm going to try to get to you as soon as I can. I've got to figure out this nonsense that we call internet radio, which it's got to be the – I'm assuming because I'm calling in on Skype. Maybe there's something wrong with Skype. All right. Now, let's see what we can do. Should I make the dead air and call in again? And I am going to do that. So there will be a couple minutes of dead air. I will call back to the number, and I apologize for this, folks, but it's the only remedy I can think of that why this is not working.
It was.
Okay, I will call back in a second. I apologize. Hang on the line, everybody. Stay in the chat room. Chat amongst yourselves. I promise I will be back. Like General MacArthur said, I will be back. I don't think he ever came back, but still, I will be back. All right.
I was.
I'll be back in a couple of seconds.
Can you hear me now, Wasp? Now? Lou? Waz, there's no way you can hear me now, is there? Waz, tell me if you hear me saying, let's go Rangers right now. Tell me in the chat room if you can hear me now. Hey, City, nice to hear you. Tell you what, Waz, type anything you want and I'll say it over the air for you. Go ahead. How you doing out there, city? Oh, man. I can't do that, Waz. I'm probably choking my own breath for doing that. The wonders of Blog Talk Radio.
Holy cannoli, are we back?
Can you hear me now?
Are you there?
Can you hear me, Mouth?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Holy moly. I tell you, it's like a tin can and there's two wires. And one wire and two tin cans over here. Holy.
You don't know this. I was on the line the whole time you just were off.
Yeah, well, what'd you say? You say
anything?
Oh,
that's between me and Waz.
Oh, come on. You were running this show. I worry right off the bat. All right. I had to switch to a landline because the Skype was not working, and I couldn't hear nothing.
Wow.
You know, I don't want Kevin Miller to think this is a rinky-dink operation, which it's turning out to be tonight, and I'm sitting in for Jim and the whole bit. Now, let me go. Give me 5 minutes of opening. Man, I'm going to put you on hold for now. I'll get back to you. Keep that chat room alive and perk it.
Will do.
All right, thanks. I apologize for that. Now I'm calling from a telephone. Let's hope the battery don't go dead on this telephone and we're dead, folks. Anyway, I wanted to talk a little about the Team Unity. And, you know, your Ranger fans, I know you've been screaming about it. You've been going wild about it. And it comes about aiding to the captain. We saw a terrific, and when I mean terrific, not in a good way, shot to the dome by Glenn Cross on Chris Drury. There were no players on the ice that took any retaliation. And it's, you know, I don't know if it's today's breed of players. I don't know if it's, it's just the Rangers are not a team that has that kind of mindset, but you're on a road trip. You're supposed to have team unity. And your captain gets laid out, and nobody on the ice comes to his aid. And to me, it's just despicable. And, you know, Chris may be back Thursday. Knowing how things go in Rangerland, that will not be Thursday. It could be a week from Thursday, knowing these guys, the way they act, the way the Rangers organization drags their feet. Now, we're back, we're live, but we're happening. It's, for some reason, I'm excited after that rough start. Brandon Dubinsky blocked a shot against Calgary. He's out 4 to 6 weeks, probably 6 weeks, with a broken bone in his wrist. Brandon was struggling before he went down with the injury, but we, you know, we really need him, and hopefully there'll be some Rangers center icemen step up in his stead. Other news today, Tyler Arneson, holy cow, I mean, we called this from a mile away, folks, didn't we? You watched one of my shows that I did on Tyler Arneson, and he turned out to be a total disaster. He was suspended and then waived by the Rangers for negotiating with a European team or a Russian team. And I just can't imagine any team wanting to negotiate with Tyler Arneson, but that's just my opinion. Also on the radar, the Rangers are looking at Peter Forsberg. There are rumors about him coming back to the NHL and playing with the Rangers. Sather actually confirmed it. So we got that going. And there's even some rumblings of Michael Nylander coming back to the team. I don't know if that's going to come to fruition. Blue Shirt Banner Radio, we're on the air any way we can, and I apologize for that dip in signal. Actually, that dip. I hope Mandoff kept things going, folks. I hope I don't listen back to this, and we find out otherwise. Now, without further ado, before we some other technical glitch goes wrong here on this rinky-dink program, but let's Blue Shirt Banner Radio, we never promised you a rose garden. I mean, sometimes you got to tough it out here in radio land, and that was one of the times. And I'm just glad that I'll be able to talk with Kevin Miller. Was a fantastic. I can't wait to talk to him. Fantastic Ranger, and we, you know, I Kevin was nice enough to answer a letter, not an email, ladies and gentlemen, an actual letter. Yes, people do actually use snail mail, and I really give him credit for that. So let's bring him on without any further ado. Kevin Miller, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi, I can hear you, Kevin.
You can. I've been listening. I didn't know if it was going to work or not.
I know. We have succeeded where others have failed, and I'm so glad to have you on the show, and I appreciate you sticking with me and not going, boy, these guys are a bunch of bozos. I'm hanging up. But I used the Skype to broadcast, which is the internet, the telephone service, and it crapped out on me. I don't know what happened, but so we're doing it old school. We're going over the phone, which is
I love it.
So, Kevin, I'm really excited to have you on this show, and you know, like I said when I in the opening, right before I brought you on, it really was nice enough to you to answer. A letter, and I think that speaks volumes about you, and you know, and just what type of people the majority of hockey players are. And I really thank you for coming on, and I know the fans are excited in the chat room. And hey, did Mandar say anything off color while I was away? Because he's my co-host.
Not much. He was just trying to get somebody to answer him.
Okay. Well, Kevin, let's start right from the get-go. You were a 10th round pick in the 84 draft, 202nd overall, Michigan State. I always ask this question of the guest: how did you feel when you got drafted? What went through your mind, and how did the family feel? The whole bit.
Actually, I don't even think I found out for a couple of days. I wasn't expected to get drafted. I wasn't thinking I was going to get drafted. But, you know, somewhere late, you know, one of the scouts had watched me and threw my name in the hat, and they decided to grab me. So, you know, I think the fact that Kelly was, you know, 2 years ahead of me and having a great season at Michigan State himself and was also a Ranger draft pick, I think, you know, they decided to take a chance on me. So,
Your brother Kelly was part of a controversial trade. We hated to see him go. He had a great career with the Caps, and I mean, for Bobby Carpenter, that's one of the trades that's in the Ranger annals is one of the worst trades. We would have loved to have you, bro, and we would have loved to have you. I mean, you hustled. You were all about hustle, and I think that's why the Ranger fans always appreciated you. We've always kind of embraced that type of player, and you were a two-way player, and then your younger brother, Kip, also played in the NHL.
Yeah, we were all very fortunate, and you know, we enjoyed every bit of it. And, of course, now I miss it a lot. Try to watch as much as possible. You know, I got a couple cousins playing, and Ryan.
You got DeBuffalo, Ryan Miller,
and
right?
Drew,
Ryan Miller.
And, try to watch as much as I can, and, you know, stay in touch with as many guys as I can, and I really did love playing in New York. It was just a fun place. Great fans, and it was just really enjoyable.
I mean, and you know, looking back at it, and if you look at the teams you played on, first of all, you played with one of the greatest coaches of all time, as far as I'm concerned, Roger Neilson. I mean, you talk about a teacher and a guy who knew the game inside and out, and your teams that you played on. First place on the first year under Roger Neilson, and then second place. I mean, you know, at the time we kind of took it for granted, but, you know, since then there haven't been too many Ranger first place or second place finishes. So you want some good teams back then.
Yeah, you know, Roger was one of my favorite coaches. I really thought he knew the game. He knew his players. He was able to get along with his players real well. Knew when they were, going good, and knew when they weren't, and I respected him a lot, and he was able to really build a team, and I was just lucky to get in there, and every time I got in there, I wanted to stay in there, so I did whatever I could out there, and and you know, just tried to be a regular.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I had mentioned in the letter that I sent to you about your famous Spinnerama goal, which for some reason that, I mean, but people remember this stuff. I mean, I think sometimes players don't realize that, you know, we'll be sitting at the Garden, you know, it's between periods, and we play the, you know, the old good old days, you remember when days, and the Kevin Miller Spinnerama comes up a lot, you know, a lot of stuff. You even scored your first goal in your first game against Washington. How did that feel, getting your goal and beating Clint Malachuk? And Malachuk wasn't a bad goalie.
Yeah, no, that was pretty crazy, actually. I was home for about 6 days because I was playing in Denver, and we had got done early, so they sent us all home. And so I was basically just home, not on the ice, enjoying myself. And I got the call, and I had to play the next day. And I didn't – I had had to scrap some stuff together. They sent my equipment out. The sticks never made it. So actually, I was using Guy Lafleur's sticks that game.
Oh, holy
cow! Yeah, I didn't see the ice till the third period, and I just happened to get a shift, and really, I was just kind of skating through the slot when somebody shot it, and it hit me and went in the net. So it was all just real fortunate and a lot of fun.
I mean, it's got to be exciting, and in that game, Rangers were down 2-0. You made it 2-1. Then Brian Mullen scores, gets the 2-2 tie. Rangers get out of the Garden with a 2-2 tie, you know, against the Caps. And I got to tell you, I mean, I guess, you know, as a layman or a fan, you really don't know what it is that thrill. I mean, to make the NHL is just one thing, but to score in the NHL, and you played in the NHL for quite a while. I mean, and you were a pro up to like 2000, in the 2000s. So you really, you got a lot of mileage. But I also noticed there was a lot of injuries that came through your career. And I was wondering, was that because you had some bad luck, or you just went so hard every game, these things just materialized?
Yeah, I think it was more just the fact that I was not a big guy. I was, you know, 5'10", 185 is not big for the NHL. And playing 82 games at the pace that, you know, I tried to play every game. And, you know, I was actually always the one looking to hit, not to get hit. So, you know, I was always banging and skating as hard as I could. And really, the injuries were actually not too bad until I got to Chicago, and then I came across an injury that I just couldn't shake, and it took about a year to heal, and once I got over it, I felt pretty good, and it just got to the point where, you know, I was later on in my career, I had a bad year, and everybody was, you know, willing to you know, play me on the fourth line instead of giving me a shot to show that I could still play on one of the top lines. And so, you know, I bounced around at that point for a while. And then I just pretty much got tired of it in 2000, went over and said I was going to enjoy the last few years of my career. And I went to Switzerland and played 3 years in Davos, won a championship over there. And
dominated.
Had a great time.
You dominated that Swiss Elite League in 2001-02. You had 29 goals and I think 27 assists in 36 games. Holy manoli. I mean, that must have been a thrill. It must have been exciting. Finally, you're getting some big-time playing time and scoring goals and winning a championship.
Yeah, no, it was, like I said, I just wanted to get back to enjoying hockey. It was to the point where, you know, it just wasn't as much fun. You know, I was playing, you know, 70% of the year down in the minors and watching younger guys and guys, you know, not as good go up and get all the chances in the world. And, you know, I just said, you know, it's time to go enjoy what I'm doing.
Right.
You know, I love the sport. I've always loved it. I still go out and play a couple times a week because I love it. And, you know, it was a great experience. I'm glad I did it. I wish I would have stayed a couple more years over there. But, you know, I decided to come back, play one more year back here and start my second career, and you know, I was in a fortunate spot in Grand Rapids, close to my hometown, and the Red Wings actually called me up a few games that year, so it was fun, and it was a good way to go out.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it really is. You know, you finally probably, I mean, like you said, you had a little bit enough of the yo-yo act, and then, you know, you did something for yourself and something for your well-being, good with the karma, good doing it for yourself and your love for hockey, and that shines through. And then, you know, again, going back, that we could see that on the ice. And, you know, I wanted to talk to you about an incident that happened during the Roger Nielsen era that's been sticking in my craw for about, I guess, what is it, 1990? What's it, 10, almost 20 years. Shows you I have nothing else to do that this stuff is actually bothering me still. But this infamous flag football injuries, you and I believe Bobby Froese went down to these injuries. What was the thinking between this flag football stuff?
You got me. You got me. You know, anytime you do an off ice activity that your body and your muscles aren't used to. Matter of fact, this summer I played in a charity softball game, and you know, about three guys all went down with injuries. You know, basically doing nothing, and you know, it's just you know, hockey and running are totally two different things, and they use different muscles. And you know,
as Ranger fans, we're sitting at home going, "They're playing flag football. This doesn't make any sense." You know, this is how we're. I mean, really, let's get hockey down first before we start going to other sports. I mean, we love our Kevin Miller, but you know, multi-sport Kevin Miller, I didn't really, I didn't think was in the future for you. I knew you were a hell of a hockey player. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I agree.
We talked with, you know, we're talking about Roger Nielsen and you know, how great he was. And, you know, I didn't notice until I did the research on you, you probably played, and I know you were a forward, but you probably played with three of the best Ranger defensemen in the modern era, as far as I'm concerned, between 88 and 91. You played with Brian Leetch, of course, in the Hall of Fame last night. James Patrick, who I consider one of the, I mean, he had a long, steady career in the NHL and was a great Ranger, and Ron Greschner. Now, can you tell us a little bit, I mean, we know everything about Leetch, we've seen the highlights, but you played with Leetch, I think, his rookie season.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit for how Brian was at the beginning of his Ranger stint? Well, stint his career.
Yeah, you know what, Brian, I was lucky enough to play with Brian and travel with him with the Olympic team in 88. And, I mean, it took about 2 seconds when you're on the ice with him to realize how talented he was. And, you know, he was just a great, skilled, smart hockey player that, you know, had a drive to win every game. And, you know, when the team was down, he was always, you know, he could beat 3-4 guys and set up or score the, you know, the tying goal. And you know, I just really loved playing with him. I mean, as long as he played, he probably could have played a few more years. It was just an outstanding career. And, you know, I feel fortunate to, you know, to know him and play with him. And, you know, he was one of the best I ever seen at being able to keep the puck in at the blue line on a power play.
Like minds. I got a chance to speak to Jeff Bookaboom, and I said that. It was the first thing I said to him about Leetch. I said, I have never seen a guy, I mean, been following the sport since 1975. I have never seen a defenseman able to keep the puck in the zone. The eye-hand coordination with Brian was fantastic.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, no doubt. It was just, it was scary how good he was at it. And, yeah, you know, he was just he was a great guy on and off the ice, and just a, you know, like I said, it was a real joy to get to know him and play with him and still be good friends with him.
And how about James Patrick? Can you give us a little insight on James? James was a guy, you know, when he played with the Rangers, the fans were up and down, and mostly up, but I always thought he was steady. And he always played a good game, a good two-way game. Could you tell us a little about James?
Yeah, you know, James is just a guy that, you know, was not flashy. So, you know, he kind of get lost in some of the other talent around him. But he's one of those guys you just love to have on your team because you can just count on him always being back there and never making any mistakes. You know, he always knows when, you know, when to make the pass or when to, you know, get the puck out. And Like I said, he's always back there. I mean, you didn't have to worry about him getting burned and leaving, you know, one of your other D-men two on one or whatnot. He was just, and he was another guy that was just great in the locker room. He's a great leader. You know, the harder the game, the better he played. And, you know, it was great to see him last as long as he did. And, yeah, he was fun to play with.
And then last but not least, Ron Greschner, who I can't find anybody who'll say a bad word about this guy. Everybody loves Ron Greschner. How was he off the ice, on the ice? He just seems like such a nice guy. I've met him. He's just fantastic.
Yeah, and I kind of caught him right at the end of his career. But, you know, as far as off the ice, he's one of the best guys I ever play with, because he would take the young guys and really, you know, look after them and make sure that you know, they knew where they were going and they knew what to do. And you know, a lot of guys that had you know, that played as long as he had, and you know, they wouldn't give you that type of time of day. And he just always would. And you know, he was fun to play with, and you know, another great guy to get to know.
Now, Kevin, you played with, I think, 9 teams, and I wanted to ask you, now that you're a fan and you're out of the game, what team are you rooting for now? And take into consideration this is a Ranger program.
Yeah, you know, I actually root for the Red Wings now because I grew up here. You know, I was able to play here. I'm now doing a lot of the alumni stuff with them.
That's good.
So that's great. I am you know, I do get letters and mailings from the Ranger alumni. There's always a special spot in my heart for the Rangers. The fact that they're my first team and the fans, you know, I think they're probably the best fans in the NHL. So.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And listen, you're from Lansing, Michigan. I mean, you know, of course you're gonna love the Red Wings. And they were a sad franchise for a long time, and a lot of people don't, you know, people forget that. They were like, you know, they were worse than the Rangers at points, and then they have completely turned it around, and their organization is fantastic, and the management, and, you know, from the GM to the president, just fantastic. That's Ilitch, I think, right?
Yeah,
over there.
It, you know, that was when it got turned around. Ilitch, you know, bought the team and took it over, and it was about the same time they drafted Yzerman. And, you know, the two of them you know, wanted one thing. They wanted to bring hockey to Detroit, and they wanted to bring very, very good hockey. And, you know, they put some good players around Steve. They brought in some good general management, and, you know, they just built a team with some great draft picks, and it's just been a solid team ever since. And, you know, every year it seems like, you know, they're one of the teams that's got, a great shot at winning it.
Now, I'm going to have – it's funny because I just got contacted. Well, tomorrow night on the show I'm going to have a former teammate of yours, Cary Wilson. And Cary is a hell of a guy just like himself. And can you tell me – I want to ask Cary maybe a question only he would answer, or something something only you know about Cary, or do you know him?
We didn't get to play with each other that long. I mean, we had a brief stint together. Cary was a very talented player, and just it just didn't seem like he got the breaks he deserved. It was fun playing with him, and he was another nice guy off the ice. But we didn't get to spend a lot of time together.
Now, there is an incident that happens in the playoffs, and I believe it was in 90-91 or 88-89. I think it was 90-91, but I'm not sure. Don't quote me on it, Ranger fans out there nitpicking in the chat room. You're going to correct me and tell me I'm wrong, whatever. But we all know the incident. It takes place at Madison Square Garden. We have Mick Vokoda, Ken Baumgartner. Now, I don't know if you were on the bench or where you were, but they attack Jeff Blumberg in that playoff. Did you play that game, Kevin?
I actually did not play that game. I was standing on the just outside the entrance to the locker room, and watched that whole incident. And yeah, It was nasty, you know.
What goes through your head when you see something like that? Because the Rangers are having that issue right now. Right now the Rangers are not having a sense of team unity. That we believe. This is just the fans' perspective. We don't know what goes on. But just from what we see on the ice, in the protection of teammates and stuff like that, what goes through your mind when you see something like that, that happens? What were you thinking at that time, and what are you thinking now that you're out of the game when stuff like that happens? What should be done?
Well, I mean, at the time, of course, you wish you were out there so you could help, but, you know, I don't know how much help I would have done. I would have tried, but he may have had two of us down. So, I mean, you know, the game has changed a lot. You don't see that as much. It's just a different game. There's a lot more Europeans out there. The rules have changed. They've tried to get away from a lot of the, you know, the hard hitting and the fighting. You do see some of it, but pretty much it's the same guys that are going to do it. And you know, once they get their fight out of the way, they're pretty much done. So, you know, it's one of those things. You know, I've been in a lot of situations where I was on the ice and you know, was able to jump in, and it's just melee, and you know, you're always grateful when you get out of there without getting you know, beat up too bad. But you know, I remember that incident, and it was ugly, and you know, that was part of hockey back then.
I mean, I gotta tell you, you know, JD, who just got the fourth the Hewitt Award, he got, you know, in the Hall of Fame there yesterday. He went bananas when that happened. He said Al Arbor was not a class act. He's lost respect for Al Arbor and the whole stuff. They were just absolutely, he was absolutely going crazy. And I wonder if they played that highlight on his Foster Hewitt Award ceremony, because he was beside himself that Al Arbor would do something like that. But, you know, that's old school hockey.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kevin, I got to get your take on this, because, you know, I definitely respect your view on this, being an ex-player and mostly an ex-Ranger, because, no, I'm only kidding. It's just, what do you think about that? You know, supposedly all these new rules have opened up the game, but if you look at it, the scores are not, the scoring hasn't gone up. And do you think it's ticky-tacky, all these calls? And second of all, do you think the intimidation rule has taken the physicality, and that's a new word they use in the sports vernacular, physicality out of the game? So people are just wary of getting that instigator penalty when they go after a guy. And like you said before, now we're stuck with these stage fights between both teams' tough guys, but that doesn't solve the problem of the policing, the nasty stuff on the ice.
Right. No, you know, I agree that a lot of the calls are ticky-tack, and you know, I shake my head and say it's not hockey. But I do agree they have opened the game up. You know, I think the scoring is down because the goalies are so good now, and you know, the guys are so fast and so smart out there now that there's not a lot of room, even with, you know, less hooking and holding. So, I mean, I do think the game is you know, still it's faster than it used to be. It's very entertaining. But, you know, I'm like you. I watch sometimes and see the guy that probably wouldn't have been able to play back in the 80s, because, you know, if you did do some of the stuff that some of these guys get away with nowadays, you know, you would end up having to fight, and you would end up having to, you know, protect yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that's one of the minuses about the game nowadays. But I do think the game is faster. I think it's very entertaining. And, you know, if they could find some way to, you know, get in between, that'd be great. But they always tried to, you know, they always tried to call the hooking and the holding in the old days, and it would last until about the playoffs started,
right,
and then it would
exactly. Basically
the refs would put the whistles away.
Yeah,
so
they always put that edict down. They're going to crack down, and then all of a sudden they disappeared, the whole thing. They swallowed the whistles, like you said.
Yep.
That's the way it went. And, you know, I got to tell you, Kevin, I mean, it's time goes quick here, and we're still keep you on for a couple more minutes if you'd like, if you can. I got some phone calls here, actually. People calling in.
Sure. I mean, I'll answer a few phone calls.
Sure.
That'd be great.
Thank you so much. And hopefully this rinky-dink operation I'm running over here will be able to get him on. There we go. We're taking phone calls for the great Kevin Miller. He was great. In my opinion, he was great. I know he's going to say he's not great, but I'm telling you, you make it to the NHL and you are great, because that is a privileged fraternity. And let's go to the phones. Who is this? You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. James. Hello. Caller, are you there? I always wanted to say that. Guess not. All right, we'll put him back on. All right, back to me and you, Kevin, as the technical difficulties keep coming. I'm telling you, what kind of show is this? It's like I got this thing out of a Cracker Jack box. it's not indicative of how the show usually goes. It usually goes smoothly, but I am sans co-host. Maybe I'll bring on the great Mandar. Mandar, I know your mic is working. I heard you were filling in. Mandar!
Hey, Matt. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, how are you?
Great. Hey, great to talk to you guys. Kevin, you were a player we all respected all the time because of your hustle, and you gave it all, and you were a fan favorite because of it.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thanks.
All right, Mandar. The man answered your question, and bye-bye you go. All right, there he goes. Let's go to the 727 area code, 842. You're on the air with Eddie the Mouth and Kevin Miller.
Hey, guys. Paulie D, man. What's going on?
How you doing, Paulie D? Welcome to the program. What is your query to Kevin Miller?
I'm curious, Mr. Miller, what do you think about the scenario right now with the Players Association? I know that the Players Association, when you played, was a real big part of the union of players, and curious to get your intake on what do you think now, what's going on, and what improvements need to get handled here.
Boy, that's a tough question. When I was playing, yeah, we went from having no Players Association to a pretty strong one, but. You know, once the owners had the power to lock you out, you know, it was always a matter of time before the players were going to crack. It was always a tough thing. And I thought Bob Goodenough did an outstanding job. He always tried to prepare the players. He always tried to, do what was best for the players. And, some of the last CBAs they signed, though, I really thought it really played towards, the star players were going to get the star money. And the problem was the young players were able to have so much control over the young players that they would pay the star players and control the young players. And the middle guys, the guys that were the blue-collar guys that were, out there every night giving it their all, and those are the guys that would get lost in the whole thing. And, I haven't followed the last, since I went to Europe, I haven't followed, and I don't know everything that's going on. I've read some of the stuff, and it's just, I know there's a lot of trouble in the association, and I know they're working it out, and I know the players are getting more involved, and I'm sure it will work itself out, because I believe they've got another CBA coming up in a year or so.
Paulie, can I ask you a question? I'm going to ask the caller a question here. I follow this stuff loosely, but I don't like to get into it. I just love hockey. I like to watch the games and the whole bit. But didn't something happen where they fired the NHLPA guy, the representative, the spokesman, in the middle of the night or something?
Yeah. I believe it was Paul Kelly that they fired. It was very abrupt, and apparently a lot has transpired, and there's a lot of rumor, and there's a lot, kept under cap, we might say, where I guess they felt that, bad deals were being made and things were being discussed and, whatever it is. But now they have a panel, and Chris Chelios is on that panel, and Nick Lidstrom's on that panel, and a couple other guys, I think Boston Bruins, what's his name? I can't think about it.
Chara?
What's that? No, not Chara. Recky. On that panel as well. And I think what they're trying to do is just sort out some of the garbage. And actually, the last that I had read and heard was they might even bring Paul Kelly back because maybe he was let go under some
yeah, I heard that was
bad stuff. So it is a mess. And Mouth, you know, I talked to Katsi a lot about it. And
I'm
curious
to
know.
Fans at home.
It's such a big difference between when people like Mr. Miller and Katsi played, where you know they really kind of leaned on the NHLPA. It was a big part of growing the game and keeping them protected, both then and for their future. And now today, with these guys making just millions of dollars, great point there. Where you know it's just. It doesn't seem like it's so important, and that's why it's so badly misrepresented. So again,
Kevin,
I think,
would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like you know you've got your star players, you've got to pay, and if you want to be competitive, and you know, so those guys are going to get their money, and then you know, after that, what do you got to do? You really got to have a. I think the teams that win nowadays have the best. The best drafts, and then they get their young kids ready the best. And if you can't draft and you can't prepare your young guys, you know it's very hard to go out there and spend money on a third liner or a fourth liner that can make your team better. You've actually got to have a guy that you can pull up to from the minors, and he's got to fill that role to get yourself under the salary cap.
Well, there we go. Paul D, I'm going to put you on hold for later. I hope you stay around. We've got some big discussions. I've got to say goodbye to Kevin Miller. And so, Paulie, I'm going to put you on hold.
All right.
Okay. There goes Paulie. Paulie's put on hold. And it's me and you, Kevin, here on Blue Shirt Banter Radio. Let me just give the number out here. To call in, the area code is 646-478-4692. We're out. We are the sands, the grains of sands of time are out. We have come to the conclusion with our interview with Kevin Miller. And, Kevin, I got to thank you so much for coming on this show and talking to the fans and talking to me. And it really, again, I'm so appreciative of it. I really mean that from the bottom of my heart.
Yeah, you know what? It was great. And I really enjoyed it. And, once again, you know, the Rangers is a special spot in my heart, and, you know, the fans are great. They always have been and always will be, and it's great to be known as a Ranger alumni.
Oh, that's true. I mean, you know, once a Ranger, always a Ranger, they say, and you proved that. And, I mean, you're following Detroit closely. Maybe during the playoffs we'll bring you on and give us your take on Detroit when they make their run.
Sounds good.
All right, Kevin, thank you so much. Kevin Miller, one of the all-time nice guys. And he hustled and he did everything. And, you know, Ranger fans just are attracted to that sort. And it's been that way. It's always been that way. You know, your Jed Ortmeyers and your Ryan Hallwigs, who I know Paulie D loves. People love Amanda. Welcome back.
Hey, Mal.
How you doing? So, what do you think about Kevin Miller? Fantastic guy, I thought.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You always respected a player like him with the way, you know, the effort that he gave out. He was an honest guy. And, you know what? Winning teams are made up with guys like him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got to have that guy. I looked in the research. I think you're not going to like this because I know one of the guys you absolutely didn't like. The first line he ever played on one was with Jan Eriksson and Lucien Devlois.
Oh, Jan Eriksson is wonderful.
Lucia Devlois, however.
There's a first rounder for you.
But I'll tell you, he was a pleasure. And Paulie D, good question there. And I got to tell you, Paulie D, I tell you, he's going to be my co-host tomorrow on Blue Shirt Banner Radio as we do a 9 to 11 p.m. Show with Carrie Wilson. The number to call once again, 646-478-4692. Me and Mandel, we're going to discuss a little bit of what's been going on in Rangerland. I talked up at the opening, and then, you know, I apologize for this ridiculous technical difficulties. I'm calling in from all sources tonight. But we got it all straightened out. What was it, about 5 minutes of dead air? Oh, geez.
It was tough. Yeah, I didn't realize that I was still on, so I thought I was talking to Waz in the chat room, and I didn't realize I was actually on the air.
I couldn't hear a thing. But anyway, let's move on. What's your take on this Glenn Cross cheap shot, a headshot, a deadly play on Captain Chris Drury and the lack of response by the Rangers on the ice? You tell me.
Well, from the Ranger point of view, they're going to tell you, you know, they're following the play. They didn't see it happen behind them, even though it was basically in front of their bench. There is no excuse for that. Glenn Cross, he's not known as a cheap shot artist, but you know what? He hit him in the head. He deserved the suspension. If they're going to crack down on headshots, they got to crack down on that. But it's, to me, it's absolutely incredible that not one of the four referees on the ice could see that happen when it wasn't that far away from the puck. Yet later on in the game, a linesman makes a four-minute high sticking call. That didn't. But
oh,
getting,
that was preposterous.
Right,
that
and so they could see that where the referees
game.
Didn't see that. But nobody on the ice noticed a guy giving an elbow to a head and a guy going down in a heap. But that notwithstanding, you know, I've been trying to say the Rangers are playing tough in a different way rather than using the fisticuffs. They've been, you know, trying to dig in the corners, winning the battles for the puck. But there does come a time when you just got to say, you know what, something warrants retaliation, and that's going to be it. He's your captain. He's your leader. If you're not going to go ahead and get out there and do something for your leader, then either he's not a good leader and they didn't want to follow him in the first place, or there's just a serious lack of any kind of urgency on this team's part to be able to go ahead and account for themselves like that.
I mean, you have a coach in John Tortorella who's supposed to be this fiery, no-nonsense, kick-butt type of guy, and you would think that the team would take on the personality of the coach somewhere down the line, and to me, they're the complete opposite. It looks like they're afraid, or they... You know, these younger players today, and Paulie D touched upon it, are just not, they don't have that short fuse that they used to have. I don't know whether it's the culture, and I just, I just got an update from Leslie Uggams. Boston is winning 1-0 in the third period. For you fans that are following that or not following that and listening to this program, Blue Shirt Banner Radio, the call-in number is 646-478-4692. We're taking your calls all night. We'll get back to the discussion as far as the headshots go. There was a GM meeting in Toronto. I caught some of that on NHL Live. It looks like it's going to be discussed. Some possible remedies, the removal of the instigator problem, the penalty problem. And you know what? It comes down to Mandon, and let me get your take on it, as about the players policing themselves. Isn't this a concern that these players don't realize they can end somebody's livelihood? I mean, they're bigger, they're faster. The impact, I mean, is absolutely, it's thrashing when they hit these other guys. What do you think about the removal of the instigator penalty, and then maybe go on to the players policing themselves?
Well, I think you hit it right on the head. I've never, in all the years I've been watching hockey, I've never seen the players not have as much disregard for each other as they have now. Whether it be, you know, what happened with the Glenn Cross thing, or even a play that happened last year with Brashear, or going back even further, watching Holig ramming guys from behind, they have no regard for each other. And I think a lot of that has to come with is the fact that the NHL has 30 teams and they have too many unskilled players that really aren't NHL caliber. So these guys try to make a name for themselves by, you know, crashing the net a bit too much or trying to play overly aggressive in order to keep a job that they shouldn't have in the first place. And years ago, players policed themselves because, you know what? You had less teams, and so you had more skilled players, and the players that are more skilled are going to respect each other more than that, I think. The tough guys did their job, and the good players did their job. The role players did what they were supposed to do, and it was a better league for it. Now the watered-down talent pool is making guys just do whatever they can to get noticed, and they go over the edge, and there's no respect for each other. That's so true.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. That's the reason. But they're making them, you know, these guys are making themselves noticed in the wrong way. You can't
right.
take somebody's livelihood. I mean, this is just a dangerous territory. You know, and I always think about, you know, the helmets. If these guys didn't have helmets, first thing is that first of all, the injuries would be catastrophic. But
right.
also, maybe because they have these helmets and shields, these guys do take liberties with the head. Whereas maybe it was such a no-no before.
Yeah, I agree with you. If it was the older days, like I said, with 30 teams, there's just so many players that don't, you know, think about it. You could count at least five players, I bet, from each NHL team that don't belong in the NHL because of their
oh, yeah.
skill. And these are guys that have
jobs.
You got
eight of them. No, I'm only kidding.
No, but exactly. You know, there's a team in the Mausoleum that has probably about 15 of them, but still. They just don't, you know, and they're going to do whatever they can to stay up. And a lot of these guys think that means going ahead and playing that type of hockey that's just not what we were used to seeing with the skilled players as we were growing up. And, you know, it's not going to be a long time, unfortunately, before there's going to be somebody that has a very catastrophic kind of injury on the ice. And
then you're going to see something happen after
exactly.
they're on their face.
That's it.
All right, I want to bring an important guy. I want to bring Paulie D back in. I know Paulie D's very passionate about this subject. He was talking with Chris Kostopoulos, his partner on the broadcast and roommate. Let's talk to Paulie D about this. Paulie D, where do you weigh in this issue? I know you have an interesting solution to it. Why don't you share this with the Blue Shirt Banter Radio fans?
Well, my friend, I was going to share it tomorrow, but I'll share it tonight. Couple of things. You know what, Mandar, you make a great point as far as the player pool that the NHL has right now with the 30 teams and, you know, guys that maybe shouldn't be there. I have to say this, and I've always felt there's roles on the ice. Of course, we all know that. There's such a debate here, guys, about Kotze made some great points, you know, let the guys police themselves. And the reason why they might not is they might be afraid, and he brought this up to both of us last night, was they might be afraid of just the horrendous fines. I mean, these guys are making millions of dollars, and, you know, every game that they don't play, it's, you know, it's a big chunk out of their paycheck. So if they jump in and do something dumber than what had transpired before, it can cost them, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's a great point, but at the same time, something has to be done. And my recommendation was, if they're not going to change the rules, then they have to implement what I believe every goal is reviewed in Toronto. I believe headshots and any dangerous or malicious plays should have a live, what would be called a live video review official, and something like that with 49 seconds into the game, there wouldn't have been much video to look at. I think he calls down and says, hey, we have an illegal, hit, blindside, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, game misconduct, and so on and so forth. Because until you change these rules, something wicked is going to happen, and a lot of what we've discussed before is these players are not afraid to do these things because there's not a big repercussion. And Mr. Miller said the same thing. You know, back in the day, you pulled something like this, you got your face knocked in.
Oh, yeah. The guy,
you
the
have to answer the call. Today, these players don't. That's why these 140, 160, 70-pound guys are driving the net, knocking Lundqvist down, knocking Miller down, going for headshots. Think there's no more respect because there's no fear that there's repercussion.
Yeah, the perpetrators are not held accountable. And in the old days, they'd be spitting chicklets if they did. They'd pull this garbage. Mando, what do you think about Paulie D's? Now, I disagree with Paulie, but I see where he's trying to find solutions, and I see where he's trying to solve the problem. What do you think about Paulie D's proposal?
You know, I agree with it in theory, but the only problem is that you're going to get such a subjective kind of a rule in there that you're going to see arguments all over the place, and I worry about that because if you're just going to review one particular play while a video review guy doesn't see the flow of the play going on at all during the game, and he's going to pick out one play. I don't know how that would affect the way the game is going. I mean, if it's a rough game and the guys are taking cheap shots and then one guy comes back and you're going to call one, but you're not going to call the other, and, you know, on an obvious call like was with Glenn Cross, yeah, that kind of a situation would work, Paulie. I agree with you. But there are those borderline subjective things that are going to probably, in my mind, create more of a problem than a solution.
Right, and I'm just, and guys, I want you both to understand that I am looking strictly for malicious or dangerous types of hits. That blindsided hit, heavy, difficult boarding types of calls, slew foots, things like that. You know, I think the referees do a pretty good job. I actually think they do an excellent job with most of the stick foul calls as far as, you know, you guys might not agree with what happened the other night in Calgary, but, you know, it is the linesman's job. If they see something like that, they have to tell them. And I guess the ruling states, and I didn't know that the ruling had stated, the fact that a linesman in an infraction of a high stick like that cannot blow the play dead. Maybe that needs to be changed, where a linesman can blow it dead and say, hey, you know, that's 4 minutes, you know, high stick in the face. The bottom line is something has to get done with this. Now, I propose this because, again, I'm just trying to help with solutions. I think something has to get done. Don't get me wrong. I'm an old school type of guy. I'd love to see the instigator rule go out the door, and I would love to, like Kotze said, I don't know whether you tweak the obstruction rule. Last night he talked about shielding. You know, when he played, one defenseman went back for the puck. The other guy shielded him. Now, that doesn't include a hook or a hold or anything like that, but you can step in the way so guys aren't getting crushed by a 100-mile-an-hour forward coming at them. But something has to give. Either go back to the old way, or you have to adopt a new rule to fix the problem, or someone's going to be hurt, seriously, seriously hurt.
You know what it is, too, Paulie, too, is years have gone on. Players have been getting bigger, stronger, heavier, right? But the size of the ice surface hasn't changed at all. And I think, I mean, I know this is kind of a radical thing, but you make the rinks maybe Olympic size, and you'll eliminate a lot of these things because there's just not that as much room as there used to be when players were smaller. So if you go to a 200 by 100 rink, now there's more skating involved, and you're still going to get physical play, but you've kind of adjusted for the size of the players getting bigger, so the playing surface has to get a bit bigger. I mean, the playing surface in the NHL has been the same for the last, 80, 90 years? When a big player, you know, that time ago would have been 5'10". And so they've not adjusted the rink sizes, and so there's not enough room to move, and these guys are catching up with them quicker, and they're getting hit with far more force. You know, I know it's a radical idea.
I mean, it is a solution.
Right. Owners don't want to lose seats by taking him out, Olympic size, but I think that's something that to me, that's almost a no-brainer because of the way the game is now.
Wow. I thought Paulie D was our only radical here. I thought he was, but it turns out Mandar's more radical. Paulie, I'm going to put you on hold. Again, if you don't mind, I'd like to keep you around after we do a little overview of the Rangers' past three games, bring you back for some discussion. If you hold on, it would be great. If you have to go, I understand.
I'm here. Don't worry about it. It's 2-0 Bruins over the Pittsburgh Penguins right now, 12 minutes in the third. There's your live update.
Thank you so much, Leslie Uggams. Paulie D. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Paulie D. You know, I love Paulie D. He's always a favorite of mine, and you got to love Paulie D. Always entertaining. Okay. Now, Mandel, let's go over these three games that the Rangers have played since we last aired here on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. The call-in number, 646-478-4692. Listen, guys, when you know, if you listen to this on the podcast, join us live. We take your phone calls. You get to talk to players. You get to vent your Ranger frustrations. I mean, you're not going to get this anywhere else. Blue Shirt Banner, we got a chat room that's absolutely fun and and you can commiserate with your other Ranger fans. Right now, we got in there, Paulie D's in there, the great Wadzilli. Well, I love Wadzilli. He's really a diehard fan, and DB Maven. We all know his status in the internet radio community as a somewhat of a groupie. Andrew SFL is in here, and Andrew, well, we love you. You're always in here, and we have a lot of guys. I don't see Gravy tonight, and James is hanging out on, I don't know what he's doing. I think he just listened to the broadcast, but let's go over these three games. Again, chat room interaction with the phones only on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Me and Mandar manning the mic today, and Jim Schmiedeberg is, again, on assignment. And I thank Mandor for filling in for Jim. Thank you so much. Let's get on with it. Let's start off with this West Coast trip. Ladies and gentlemen, the Vancouver game, the Rangers lost 4-1. This was a game that I really think was boiled down to special teams play. I thought the Canucks' power play looked really good. I mean, anytime you have one of the Sedin sisters playing, especially I think it's Henrik, he is a power play god as far as I'm concerned. What was your take on this game, if you can remember that back that far to last? It was a Tuesday.
You know, it was a frustrating game, and it was one of those Rangers setup games, you know, because the Canucks had, like, what, five or six regulars out of the lineup. So it was just prime for a Ranger letdown. I mean, they even had Kevin Bieksa, who I like is one of their defensemen, playing forward most of the game. It was just, they dressed seven defensemen, and, you know, I thought the effort was okay, but, you know, whoever that Vancouver backup goalie, what was it, Kay Whitmore or somebody like that, you know, there wasn't too many, you know, chances generated. The good thing about that game, obviously, was finally getting, you know, your boy Higgins off the schneid, thanks to your work.
Yeah,
day before.
Rene Higgins, and then he went to two games out of three with a goal. It always happens. Every time I curse a guy, get rid of him, and all of a sudden, most Ranger fans didn't see it because it happened at like 12:40 or whatever it happened, you know?
Yeah, and he got rewarded for going to the net, and you know, hopefully that's going to be more prevalent going forward. But it was a typical Ranger letdown game. They were playing a team that was depleted by injuries, that didn't even have Luongo in net, and you know, I don't think they met much that many scoring opportunities either.
No,
they
didn't. They didn't come to play. And you know, I don't know how you not come to play. And speaking of not come to play and not doing your job, you know, it's time for the rant. You knew one had to come at least at this program. Madison Square Garden Television. You are the worst broadcast on earth when it comes to NHL hockey. I have an NHL ice package. I know Mandar has it. A lot of us have it. You watch these other broadcasts, and I'm telling you, they know their team, and they know the other team. I'm pretty sure they know nothing about the other team when they come into their building. They actually knew a little bit more in this Vancouver game, I guess because they had the long trip out there. They actually got a chance to study the roster.
And they got to have dinner with Rennie.
Yeah, well, yeah, they were talking about that dinner with Rennie. That was great when they caught him on, when they thought they were off the air. Was it Sam and Micheletti were talking about what they were going to do for dinner with Rennie in Edmonton. But anyway, let me get off on it. The last thing I want to hear 25 times during a broadcast is stay tuned for the in-studio after-game analysis with Bill Pito and Mike Keenan. They must have promoted that 70 times. They would talk about it while the play was going on. Stay tuned for Mike Keenan and Bill Pito. Stay tuned. Score. Who scored? They don't know, but stay tuned for Mike Keenan and Bill Pito. And then the Rangers are losing. I mean, it's absolutely absurd. It's like 1:30 in the morning, and what happens? They're still promoting this show. No Ranger fan who stood up for a 4-1 loss is going to freaking watch a postgame about a losing effort. I mean, Mandel, are they insane over there?
Absolutely insane. And they should know their audience a lot better than that.
They know nothing. And they
did the same thing on Saturday night after the Calgary game. Hockey Night Live. Let's all watch Hockey Night Live at 12:30 or 1 o'clock in the morning.
Hockey Night Dead. I'm going to sleep. I mean, I'm pulling some heavy REM sleep at that point. And, you know, that just, and then I'm going to get some more to broadcast, but we got to move on. Now you talked about the Rennie slumber party, as I call it. Anytime you play Tom Rennie or you play for Tom Rennie, get ready for the slumber party. And I got to tell you, Edmonton was in a deep slumber in this game. And to start off, and I'm going to start off right now, Sam Rosen. I mean, I know you're friends with Tom Rennie, and you ate dinner over at his house with Peggy and his wife, or whatever her name is. He made a statement in this game at the very top. You know, it just got my ire up, man. He said, now this is quote,
mm-hmm.
Tom Rennie did an excellent job with the Rangers. So I went and I looked up in the dictionary what the word of excellent or excellence means. And it means superiority. The best in your field. Can you honestly say, and I know you're not going to say because you're a realist and not in freaking Rosenland where he believes that Tom Rennie led us to cups or something. Did he do an excellent job or did I miss something?
I think Sam comes from the setting the bar really low at excellent, you know. Because
he probably thinks his hairpiece is excellent too.
You know, and he's still you know in seventh heaven because the Rangers made the playoffs for the first year after seven, and we all were happy about that. And we went to the second round, and everybody was happy. And then we went to the second round again. Then we got knocked out in the first round. You know, at some point, your expectations got to go a little bit higher than that. And Rennie was stuck with the status quo. And I think we've talked about it before, too. As a player evaluator, I'll take Rennie.
Yeah.
As a coach, not so much.
Exactly. And in that game, another team, Edmonton, decimated by injuries and flu and H1N1 and all that stuff. And the Rangers actually, you know, they came up, they showed up, the special team showed up, they get the 4-2 win. It was good to see, you know, the Rangers actually win a game. And because I'm telling you, it's been rough. It has been rough.
Yeah.
I mean, the Rangers have not done well since that opening flurry of wins when we were all sipping the Kool-Aid. I'm still sipping the Kool-Aid. I'm going to tell you that. Because I still think there's a future for the Rangers. It's just probably not this year. But, you know, hey, listen, you don't know what's going to happen. As my good friend Stan Fischler says, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And I'm really not that good of friends with you. Did you take anything out of that Edmonton game? I also was impressed by Michael Delzato's play, and he has been absolutely fantastic.
Absolutely. You know, he's even stepped up his physical play, I think, too, and I thought maybe in the next game against Calgary, he was looking for that home run pass maybe a little bit too much. He maybe has to dial that back a little bit. But the best Ranger defenseman, bar none, for this year has been Michael Delzato, much to Paulie's, you know, chagrin because he's a young D. And since Paulie's not on here.
Okay, Paulie, he's already stopped giving him shots and trying to get him all riled up. You're taking him out of context. He said that in the beginning, but listen, don't get him going.
I know. We love Paulie D. But,
I got the goon in the chat room talking about how soft we are. He was the guy telling us, oh, Edmonton, watch out. All these goons they got, they're going to push us around. It was like the night of the living dead out there. That McIntyre didn't do nothing. Jack's off there. He didn't do nothing. And who's that other guy I got? Stortini?
Yeah, Stortini was on the fourth line, did nothing. And isn't it amazing how Edmonton looked like the Rangers in the last 3 years?
Of course. They got the Rennie. They got the human ether back there. He puts everyone to sleep. Are you kidding me?
He had everybody on the ice looking for Yager on the power play, and it wasn't happening for him.
All right, let's move on to the last game that we missed during the interim in this broadcast. Once again, the phone number 646-478-4692. We talked to Kevin Miller before. It was a great interview, and you guys can listen to it on the podcast here on Blue Shirt Banter Radio. Let's go to the Calgary game, and this is a game that now all of a sudden Oh, the Ranger fans are upset, man. They want blood. They are yelling, screaming, let's get everybody in here. We need different players, the whole thing. And this is a game where Dubinsky gets the injury, takes a shot off the wrist. Well, actually, the first injury happened with Drury taking the cheap shot from Glencross. And you tell me what your take. Well, we went over the headshots, but on this particular play, what your take on that, my friend?
Well, I you know, like I said before, Glencross isn't known as a dirty type of player to take shots like that, but the play, you know, he didn't let the play go. He anticipated Drury playing the puck. Drury didn't, and he's got to be able to police himself enough to go by him, or if he's going to bump him a little, but not, you know, full throttle at the headshot. So that's ridiculous. But let me tell you something about this Calgary game overall. I believe totally the Rangers outplayed Calgary. I thought the Rangers were the better team on the ice. They outskated them. The difference was Kiprusoff and Nett. I'm not a big fan of Valiquette. I think he's horrible. He's a borderline ECHL goalie. But and he's got a glove made of rubber. And other guys think that he's adequate as a backup, and I disagree with that. But you know, he was not going to do anything on the second goal. The first goal I thought was weak, even though it was tipped down low, went right through the legs. And I think that the Rangers played tighter defensively around him because they realized they can't take those type of chances. But they outplayed him. I mean, really, the difference totally was Kiprusoff was just showing you why he was a world-class goalie.
Oh,
and no matter how much the Flames pounded the Rangers, and they certainly did, the Rangers came back. The Rangers outskated them, outplayed them, and it was just a matter of the goaltender being the difference.
Yeah, I thought maybe not as dominating as you put it, but definitely good enough to win the game. And you made a great point with Valiquette. He just subpar. He's just not a capable backup. And I feel that if you had a capable backup in there, you probably would have tied or won that game. Kiprusoff was definitely the difference maker in that. And also, that awful call on Cody Leek gave him the extra 2 minutes that they scored on that ensuing power play. Calgary scored. That was an awful call. And it really, that sunk the Rangers in that game. Kiprusoff played fantastic.
Yes, he did.
And, you know, Dubinsky is now up 4 to 6 weeks. Looks like it's going to be 6 weeks. And everybody is frantically looking for a center iceman. I just say move Artie up on the line and make him play more and, you know, keep things as usual. Put Boyle back to center on the third or fourth line or whatever have you. Get him off the wing because I don't think he's as good on the wing. And,
I'll tell you what I do. You know, I'd like to see Avery go up to center and play more like Avery. I'm waiting to see the real Sean Avery this year.
I haven't seen him yet.
Haven't seen the grit. Haven't seen the guy getting under the skin. The all-out hustle. When I barely notice Sean Avery on the ice, and you could never say that about him before. Excuse me. I think he should be. Put him up on the third line center. Let him get in there with some grit. Let him do what he does best. I just don't understand what's happened with him.
I don't know. He's being neutered. I mean, there is something going on. Now it's either A, he knows that every ref's got the goods on him, and that he knows he's being watched, and he's going to be called for anything. There'll be farts out there, they're going to call it. Two, he's being told by Torts, listen, I can't afford you to go around causing this chaos. I need to keep everything in order, and we can't take bad penalties. Or he's consciously saying, I need to change my game and not be the pest. Now, first thing, if it's the NHL, screw the NHL, Sean, go out there.
Great,
they're
going to
call you whether you do it or not. They hate you so much, they have such a disdain for your type of play and your shenanigans, you're going to wind up getting tagged for a lot of stuff you don't do anyway. You might as well do it.
Exactly.
If Tortorella is telling them, ship Tortorella out on the next bus. Because if he's telling Sean Avery not to do his game with the Rangers, have had so much success with him and his chirping and his antics and all that stuff, I can't imagine. imagine that. Or maybe Sean fears that he's going to be putting Chantel Bow out. But, you know, Sean Avery can score, but he's not a scorer. If he's not doing his thing, he's useless as far as I'm concerned. So, Sean, you're right. He's been disappearing. He's been a non-factor. I mean, an absolute non-factor, and we need him to play his game for success. It gets the other team focused on a total different thing. It derails their whole game plan.
That's it.
And that's what you need. You know, you go into a game and thinking, oh, we got to shut down Gaborik. We got to shut down this. And a thing, DB Maven just said to Tortorella, there's a bus leaving in an hour. Be under it.
You know, they're playing this weekend in Ottawa. You want to watch Chris Neal just run all over guys.
He does it
every time he plays the Rangers. It's going to happen again unless, you know.
That's a game. See, I worry about a game more like that than the Edmonton game that Ricky was talking about as far as watching the toughness. There's a guy who's going to play, who's able to play the game and hit you.
Yep.
And that's where the Rangers are going to get pushed around, but hopefully they can get up on the scoreboard. Because that Ottawa team ain't so great either. So we've recapped the three games in the interim, and this is going to be the time in the program that I bring Paulie D back on. Paulie D, thanks for hanging with us tonight. I know you're doing a lot of radio. You did Monday. You did Tuesday. You're hanging with us. And then tomorrow night, same channel, Blue Shirt Banter Radio, different time, 9 to 11. You'll be joining me and special guest Carrie Wilson. So are you excited about doing the show with the mouth or what?
I am very excited, and I love doing the radio programs, and I mean, you know, what else? I mean, if I can't talk hockey, I might as well not be around anymore. I love this game, and so it's always an honor and a privilege to be part of this show and handling my own show. I love it. And
we love the Paulie D program. Paulie D program, I tell you, is a great program. He has Cassie on sometimes, recently a lot, but it's always informative. And the Paulie D program doesn't encompass NHL hockey and Ranger hockey. It encompasses the world of hockey, including ball hockey and all types of hockey. And that's what I love. You're such a great, passionate advocate for the game of hockey. And that's why I respect you, and that's why I like working with you, frankly. I mean, I can hear it in your voice, the passion, and you care about the game.
I do, and I'm doing what I can to, Malk, like you said. I'm doing what I can to help the game grow, especially here in the States. I think it's the greatest game in the world, and, you know, I do cover a lot of ball hockey things, and a lot of people scratch their head and, you know, like, ball hockey, you know, what's that? Or, you know, isn't that a kid's game? But it has grown and become really just a fantastic sport to be part of and to watch and to video and to talk about. And believe it or not, I mean, I believe that, you know, it's grassroots type of hockey. And the only way, you know, I became a huge hockey fan by playing the game. You get an understanding of the game, and, you know, ball hockey is very easy for kids to play, and, you know, that's where I believe the growing fan base is going to be, as, you know, as kids get older and get more involved. But getting back to the New York Rangers and this program, I couldn't agree with Mandar again, unfortunately. I have to agree with him. I thought they were the better team, definitely, in Calgary. I think they played pretty good against Vancouver as well. I mean, that was a tight game until the third. But you know, getting back to the Calgary game, you know, let's talk about it, guys. I really feel that there's a lot of great things with the New York Rangers right now. There's a lot of, you know, excitement, and definitely, and I'll say it again for you, Mandar, Delzato has impressed everybody. I never thought a 19-year-old kid stepping on the ice for the first time in a blue shirt would play as well as he has played, and I couldn't agree with you, unfortunately, again. More, I noticed yesterday that I'm really impressed with Mandar. You made a great point with his physical play.
He's been
physical. And I think as this kid gets bigger and bulks up and matures, we're looking at a fantastic future much more than you know what we thought we were going to have in Stahl. I think Delzato is going to surpass many defensemen that we've had through the years. But I also think that this team has to find grit somewhere, and whether it be Katsi made the great point that this team has to finish checks, Mouth and Mandaw. The team is not finishing checks, and it's a quirk with Katsi, and if you haven't noticed, it's a quirk with me as well. They don't finish their checks.
Well, you're one in the same. You're a joint in the hip right now. I mean, come on. Let's take it.
I like when you called him my roommate. That was funny. That made you laugh. But it's true. I mean, if you watch the game, guys, there's not many guys. You know, you take Dubinsky and Callahan, and I got to say, Prospel's another one. You know, 9 times out of 10, they'll finish their checks. Half the team doesn't finish their checks. And we know we don't have, you know, 225-pound players all over the ice. But that doesn't mean you don't finish your checks and you don't play hard.
You know, Paul, you're right, too. And that's another thing about Avery. You don't, and he always did. And you don't see him doing that now.
Yeah, I honestly think in my heart of hearts, and what I really want to believe, and I keep saying this, Katsi disagrees with me, and some other people might disagree. I think Avery is nursing a small injury of some type. I really hope that is the case, because I could not agree with you guys more. If he's not going to play his Anthics-type game, then he's useless to us. I've always said he's a middleweight guy, but the antics that he brings and the chirping that he brings and the aggravation that he brings is what makes him a player that the New York Ranger fans fell in love with. And we have not seen that in the 15-plus games that we've played this year. And if we don't see it, then, honestly, he's useless. He's not like he's a 40-goal scorer, so what is he bringing to the team?
I mean, it's just strategically, like I said before, and I'll reiterate it, the opposition, you know, if they come into the game, we've got to focus on Gabrick. We got Willie Mitchell against Gabrick, you know, the whole bit and the whole 9 yards. But once he starts, say he goes after Willie Mitchell and starts nonsense with him, it takes the focus from a strategy point of view. It makes sense to have this guy. We've seen it work time after time. Update from Leslie Elgham's 3-0 Bruins. And the Bruins is, I'm telling you, the Bruins are, they're rocking the house. 3-0 is a big-time scoring flurry for those guys.
Hey, Paul, did you see also the showdown MSG against Calgary, the pregame with McGrattan bumping at center ice in the pregame? And nothing went of that? Did you guys see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, they showed a highlight, and I think it might have been after the first period. In the pregame warm-ups, you know how they line up over center ice? Remember when Avery bumped Tucker that time or that other idiot, whatever his name is, on Toronto? And there was that whole skirmish that happened there because they bumped each other at center ice. McGrattan went over, and I think it was Dubinsky. He bumped, and all the Rangers just looked back at him. He didn't do nothing. Nothing. McGrattan skates over to the bench, leans over, looks back, gives a little smile, and nothing.
All right. I'm going to stop this. I know where it's going. We're too soft. I know it. We've been beating it to death. I think we all concur on this. I think the team is not sticking up for each other, and it's disheartening to us fans. But I want to talk about some other reasons that I think we've had this kind of downturn in the Ranger play. And I believe it's the third and fourth line. They're not chipping in like they were earlier. Now, I don't know if it's the shuffling or what have you, but we're not seeing a lot of production at that third and fourth line. What do you guys think about that? We'll go to the guy who's not typing, Paulie.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to agree with you in the way that they're not chipping in. The problem, though, and you touched base on it. Actually, I'll be honest with you, except for on paper in the beginning roster, what is the third and fourth line? There's so much shuffling going on. Who's playing with you? Who's playing with him? Who's playing with whoever? I don't know who's on whose line anymore. The only line that I consider the first line is any line that Gabrick's on. Anything after that, it's a crapshoot. And I think that's a great point, Mouth. because it's just there's so much inconsistency there that I think it's a problem. I think it's time to settle down a little bit. Yeah, it's nice. You know, you got to find goal scoring as a coach, and sometimes you got to move a player or two, maybe double shift them with somebody else who's going. But it just seems like night after night, you don't know who's playing on whose line and where they're going next.
And part of the reason they were consistent with that 7-game win streak at the beginning of the year is because everything was set.
Right. They were playing the same lines, and Tortorella was itching to change those lines. He's got his wish, and meanwhile, we're in a semi-free fall here early. Get back to playing those steady lines. Maybe that's the answer. I mean, for criminy sakes. If it's broke, don't fix it. All right. Now, the Rangers also in that three-game swing, they only managed to get 6 goals. I mean, that's pretty pathetic. Don't you guys think 6 goals? Girardi scored? Two by Higgins? That means only 3 other guys scored in 3 games? It's absolutely preposterous.
Yep. I couldn't agree more. I think one of the things is the power play has kind of cooled down a bit. You know, in the Edmonton game, what did we score? 3 out of 4 power play goals?
Right.
You know, that's big, and that's probably the biggest part of that win there in Edmonton. The power play doesn't do as well in the other 2 games. I think, Mal, the other thing that we have going on is, I hate to use the term because it's used so often, but streaky. There are a couple players that are streaky. I'll tell you what, I'm impressed with Kotalik, and
yeah.
I know he has the reputation of being streaky. I think he's doing a good job.
He's, you know, Paulie, he's hit a lot of iron too this year. I mean, how many posts and crossbars has this guy hit?
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, he back checks too. I never knew that he could be so responsible in his own zone. He really is.
Yes.
All right. Okay. And we got another phone caller here, but we're gonna get to one more point I wanted to make. Can you guys figure out and tell me why this team is only carrying 6 defensemen? I mean, I don't understand it. You gotta bring that 7th guy in so you can have that guy, the tougher D-man, to bring in. If it's whether it's a Dandenault or whatever, have you? It seems like when that guy Semenov, his wife decided he didn't want to play with the Rangers, and we haven't even considered a 7th defenseman. And don't you think a 7th defenseman? And this is what you brought up, Mandel, last week, which was an astute point here on Blue Shirt Banner Radio when you talked about it pushes the guys that are playing to play better, knowing there's a guy waiting in the wings. Boise, what do you think about this?
Well, I think that's a great point. Again, Mandar, you know, a little healthy.
Agree with Dan.
Yeah, I mean, definitely a little healthy competition never hurt anybody. I think it's. I agree. I don't know why we don't have that extra defenseman waiting in the wings, especially with the 2 specific guys that I'm not crazy about back there. You know, why not sit Wade Redden for a couple of games and bring in that other defenseman or, you know, draft 7 defensemen, whatever you want to do. I think, for one, the team can use the help. For 2, you know, the healthy competition is fantastic. I don't know why Tortorella wants to run such a lean squad. And now that we're riddled with a few injuries here, I'm curious to see how Tortorella is going to handle this and if the game that the Rangers want to try to play is going to change. I mean, you know, you're missing 2 big centermen now. What are we going to do? Are we going to bring up some kids from the minors that, you know, got a little gumption in them and want to check and play hard and make things ugly for other teams? Because I think that's one of the problems the Rangers have right now.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. You know, I see when the Rangers come out flat, and I know Mandel will never say this, but, you know, I watch my fair share of the games the Hempstead Club plays, and the Hempstead Club, they come to play every night.
Yeah.
Whether they, you know, they got 0 fans watching them and 0 people care, but when you watch the game, their players come to play every night, and they come to work. And I feel like there's not enough players on this team so far. I mean, it's still early, folks. Let's not jump off the ledge right now. But you got to come to work every night, and I don't really see this. Speaking of a guy who should be unemployed, Aaron Voros continues his saga of why he's on this team. D.B. Maven said he hasn't been playing, but, you know, I've seen enough of Aaron Voros to tell you he's absolutely worthless.
I thought he took two really important penalties the other night, too.
Yeah, exactly. He took
so that warranted more penalties.
He's horrible. Now, you know, since we're going to get to the toughness and the physicality, my new most hated word in the sports vernacular, I don't know if that's a word. They make up these words, but we're going to bring on Ricky the Goon. The Goon knows about the tough stuff. He's reported on his show, and I believe it. I've been tweeting it as he's my source that Donald Brashear is suffering from some kind of migraines or injuries. We're going to bring the Ricky the Goon on. We're going to get D.B. Maven waiting in the wings. I'll get to you, D.B. But let's bring on Ricky. Ricky the Goon, welcome to the program, Blue Shirt Banter Radio. I want to talk to you about Voros. Please. You got to be on board with me with this guy. He's completely useless.
Oh, absolutely. I think he's absolutely a waste of space. You know, we're talking in a chat room. I would rather see Jordan Owens up here.
Surely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
You know, the kid's got spunk. He can throw down. But you know what? He's got heart. I mean, Voros is just a waste. I mean, the guy can't skate. He can't shoot. He misses 90% of his checks. He takes stupid penalties. And I got to be honest with you. This coach can look somebody in the face and say that Colton Orr wouldn't have fit in on this team when he dresses Aaron Voros. I mean, you know, my new name is Phonyrella over there as coach. And Phonyrella the other night in Calgary turned out to be the biggest disgrace since Muckler was coach of this team and didn't dress a tough guy for a year and a half. But what happened in Calgary made the New York Rangers the laughingstock of the National Hockey League.
Wow.
McGrattan pumps your superstar young player at center ice and challenges him in warm-up. Nobody looks at the guy. And Voros took the warm-up, so that's even, you know, that's a bigger joke. He, you know, nobody cares if he gets 10 games. Then during the game, you know, Wade Redding goes on over and whispers sweet nothings in the guy's ear after he lays your captain out and knocks the guy unconscious and he's laying on the ice. That would have never have happened. Try that with a Barry Beck or Eddie Hospodar team. Try that with a Nicky Fatiou, George McPhee team. Or try it with Darren Langdon. You can bet damn well it would have been different results the other night. This
How about
team,
a Troy
Millett?
Troy Millett
would have jumped him and humped his leg. We know that.
Troy Millett should be on his show, Dagoon. You better watch it. I got Troy Millett booked for next month.
Troy Millett, 309 minutes his rookie year. One of my favorite players when he first came up. And nobody can say a bad word because he turned into Adam Graves.
Yes, that's true. Traded for Adam Graves. And you know what? Mandel loved Troy Millett. He loved
one of my favorites. Absolutely.
When he first came up, he was one of mine, too. I got the Millett jersey hanging up in the closet.
Definitely played hard. He played on the line with Gardner. He even scored double figures in goals.
I think he had 12 goals that year.
Rookie season was one of the most exciting. That's the year him and Chris King both went over 300 penalty minutes for the Rangers, only time ever.
Yeah,
and I remember the fight with Shane Cherla opening night, his second year in the league in the corner at the Garden, got the place just going insane, him and Cherla toe-to-toe.
All right. Now, Mr. Goon, we know that you know, Phonyrella, Cinderella, maybe the clock has struck midnight already and the Rangers have turned into a bucket. But let's not bash torts right now. But, you know, I do agree with you on a lot of points. He seems very inconsistent and really – how can you be a talent evaluator and say, listen, Aaron, you're in the lineup tonight. You've been impressing me. I mean, unless Aaron Voros is bringing him Starbucks in the morning, I don't know why this guy's on a team. I mean,
well, you know, I got a question for you guys, and this is something I've thrown out. And let's just say I'm not bashing Tortorella with this. What about taking the Rangers and dressing a seventh defenseman and getting a guy, and I'm just throwing a name out there, and people are going to say he's a goon, but he's not. What about Wade Belak? You go out, you get a Belak who's not playing much in Nashville. You dress him as a seventh defenseman. Then dress two guys on the fourth line who are, you know, say a Jordan Owens or a Dane Byers is a perfect example. And double shift whatever center is hot. Have the seventh defenseman that can go out and clear the front of the net and play a little bit of physical hockey and adjust during the game. My biggest problem with Tortorella is he makes no in-game adjustments to his style.
Well, I think you raise a good point. I mean, that's a definite way to go. I mean, you know, I mean, you're right. He doesn't have many answers once things get, you know, things go badly, except pulling the goalie with 2 minutes and 29 seconds left or some other ridiculous move. But I don't want to harp on Tortorella too much, but I think maybe you guys, I mean, Ricky posed a question here. What do you guys think about that? We'll go with DeGoon. I mean, that's DeGoon, Paulie D.
You know what? I think it makes great sense. You got my coach for vote. You got my vote for coach.
Coach!
I got to be honest with you. I couldn't agree more. There's nothing that I've seen, and you know me. I mean, you can call me a goon too, but there's nothing. I want to see more physical. I want to see guys sticking up for one another. I want to see guys going in the corner and coming out with the puck. I want to see more physical, and we're not seeing that. Listen, it's great, this goal-scoring talent that we have, but we are not complementing that talent with a little bit of toughness to win the puck battles in the corner and to protect teammates. Exact great point. You got goons running up to people doing nothing. You got your captain getting knocked out with 50 seconds in the game doing nothing. It's time to make a statement, and I believe it's got to go on the coach and say, hey, guys, we can't have this kind of crap. Let's stress this one. Let's stress that one. Just like you said, Voros is a joke. And if Voros, the only thing Voros could do is take some really good boxing lessons and learn how to fight, because that's the only worth he'll ever have. He's got good size, but he can't skate worth a damn. He can't handle the puck. He can't shoot. So what's he doing on the ice? And again, you make a great point. As Tortorella as the coach, what's the point?
What
the guy can't play.
Guy? I mean, a guy takes two consecutive penalties. If it was Dubinsky, now he's hurt, but he would bench him for a game. And we still continually see this guy paraded out. Now, man, well, I'm going to cut you short on this one, because I want to bring DB Maven in right while I can. The great DB Maven, we need a voice of reason. Actually, I think we've all been kind of reasonable. Let's talk about the positive. I want to switch gears to the positive. Because listen, It's not over. Let's talk about the play of Vinny Prospel. DB, what's your take on Vinny so far in the season?
I'm offended. You bring me on to be positive?
All right. All right. Go nuts. Be negative. Be a negative Nelly. What do you got to say?
No, you asked the question, I'll answer it. I can't imagine anyone not seeing that Vinny Prospel is the steal of the entire NHL for $1.1 million so far this season.
Of course. I mean, the guy's up there in the total point. He's scoring every game on a score sheet every game. I mean,
can I say one thing here? As obvious as it is about how good Prospel's been, isn't it as obvious as how horrible Voros has been?
Yeah.
We're seeing obvious things here, and I'll stop.
You stole my thunder, Mandar. See, now I'm going to have to go and be the Jim and play the coattail thing, right? Because that's exactly the point. It is, you know, obviously Prospel's a steal, but Tortorella, knowing that he had Gaborik, managed to convince Sather and convince Prospel to come because he knew it was going to be a good fit. And so far, he's looking pretty smart about that. And on the other hand, the guy's got to be dyslexic if he's putting freaking Voros on the ice.
He's got to have no hockey sense whatsoever. Unless Voros is just like one of those robots that listens to everything he says, and he, you know, he's a teacher's pet, and that's the only reason he's playing. DeGoon, I want you to talk about Vinny Prospel. What do you think so far, and do you think these accolades are worth what we're saying about him?
Oh, I think Prospel's been outstanding. I mean, I you know what I love about Prospel is watch when a goal is scored and when he's on the ice. The guy jumps through the boards. He knocks players over, hugging. I mean, his emotion is genuine. He's a hockey player, man. He's busting his butt. It's a one-year contract. He's playing for another one. Let's be honest on that. He's an every-other-year player, and we got him in the right year.
Okay.
Amen. Good point.
I love the fact, and you make a great point with the excitement that Prospel brings. When there's a goal scored, you know, it's so funny because usually when there's a goal scored, he's on the ice anyway. He's very excited. I just – anytime you see this guy, he leads. He leads by example. He leads on the bench. He's so talkative on the bench. He's talking to all the players. He talks before a face-off. I think he brings that element. The points are great, but the other element that he really brings is I think he's a teacher. I think that he brings that veteran ability and just all those good things, the intangibles that our so-called captain doesn't bring to this team. If you ask me, I think Prosper is the captain of this hockey club. And I hate to say that because he's 15 games in, but if you watch the man, how he leads and what he does, that's what a captain does, and that's Vinny Prosper.
Mandar, your take?
Absolutely. He earned his A. And I'll tell you what, the points have come as a result, obviously, of being a great fit with Gabrick. Remember, we all thought that Dubinsky was going to be the center for Gabrick, but it turned out to be Prosper. And they feed up each other well. But, yeah, exactly, the Rangers score a goal. Man, I'll tell you what, I love watching his reaction. And not just when he scores, when, you know, Gabrick's so used to scoring, he just, you know, the stick goes up and it's no big deal. But Prosper is out there, brings the emotion. And I like the fact that he's out there in every situation. He's killing penalties. Their penalty killing is still in the top five in the league, even somehow surviving the loss of Blair Betts. Power plays top 10. He plays on the first line. You know, he's involved in everything, and he's, you know, he's everything advertised and more.
Yeah, all right. Well, now we've got
the
lowdown. What did you say?
The PK was actually number one.
What happened? We were going to miss Betts and Freddie Shoestring there. I mean, it's unbelievable. We're number one
hey,
in
guys.
The PK. And that's due to Boyle. Boyle's playing great on that PK, guys. What do you want to say?
I just want to interrupt you guys 1 second here. Flames and Canadians, it's 1-0 Flames. Big note here, and I don't have numbers or names, but I want you guys to watch maybe some highlights later on. One of the Flames decided to run a Canadian, and as soon as that happened, the gloves got dropped, and 3 and 4 guys got involved.
Well, it was McGrattan ran someone, and Paul Mara came to his defense and jumped McGrattan. Another player who Tortorella ran out of town. Phonyrella didn't like him, said the guy couldn't handle the minutes, was not a good enough offensive force to play the up-tempo game, and, you know, have 9 turnovers a night like Roosevelt. Came to the defense of his teammate tonight, and that was Paul Mara, and that was the point I was trying to make a couple minutes ago. I didn't want to cut you guys off. Another player run out of town by Phonyrella, who would fit right in on a team. And let me tell you something, he would not, and he's not the best fighter, he's one of the worst in the league, but he would have not whispered sweet nothings in the ear the other night in Calgary. He would have dropped his gloves.
Well, you know, I wanted to mention Degune. You're really becoming popular, right? All of a sudden, usually you're like the rogue or the guy everybody loves to hate, but now on that HF board, they're all embracing you and...
Well, you know what, Mouth? Like, another thing I wanted to say, it's not all John Tortorella's fault here. When is Glenn Sather and the coaching staff going to get together and draft our Burrows or our David Clarkson or our Carcillo? And you know what really gets me annoyed? We made 3 or 4 trades with Phoenix in the last 2 years. Phoenix traded Proust, and they traded Carcillo. They traded Carcillo to the Flyers on the trading deadline last year. Where is Sather when we can get a third-line guy who could score 10 to 15 goals, get 28 points a year, and put up 300 minutes in penalties, and bang the hell out of the defenseman down low? Where is he when those guys are available? Is he out smoking? Is he golfing? Because we end up with guys like Leeson who are going to score 15 goals, have 6 assists, and be in a minus 15, and never throw a body check. And that's what annoys me about this organization.
Well,
we do not...
You know, you were preaching Dane Byers pretty high there in the preseason. He's playing now. Isn't he that type of guy?
Oh, he's not a guy that's going to put up – I think he's going to score 10 goals. I think for sure he'll score 10 goals. But I don't think he's physically – you know, he's not a fighter. I mean, people see the last name. You know, he is Lyndon Byers' nephew, but he's far from a Lyndon Byers fighter. And when he gets his gloves come off, you're going to be disappointed on a Varos level with him. And I'm not trying to be funny. He is a bad fighter. But he will bang. He will stick up for teammates. Absolutely, yes. But I'm just saying, it's, you know, I crap on Tortorella all the time, but it's got to, Sanders got to go out and get a guy who's 6'3" sometimes that can bang a body too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's up in Banff, whatever he's doing in his lodge, trying to look for the next Tyler Arneson to destroy. Great organization. And let's face it, the guy is not astute. We know that. I mean, now let me bring on James. The phone calls. James, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, man?
James, I went to you earlier when Kevin Miller was on. You weren't there yet.
Yeah, there's something wrong with the phones going on. There were some storms here again. What else is new in Florida? Hey, Paulie D, are you down in Pasco County?
I am.
Okay, I'm up in Hernando, that's why. Okay, I noticed the 727.
What is this?
This is spelled, hey, how you doing?
All of a sudden, it's Match.com. You guys want to make a love connection? Back to 2-2. I mean, seriously, folks. All right, now I want to talk to you guys, and I want to see if you agree with me on this. Now, we always say in the playoffs, let's say the Rangers, they hobble into the playoffs. They've got the best goalie, at least one of the best goalies. The Goon wouldn't agree with us, but at least a goalie that is capable of stealing games in the playoffs. Listen, if it wasn't for him last year against the Capitals, we'd be getting blown out every game. And if Gavrik is healthy, and we've seen what he can do, we would say to other teams, take the Ranger glasses off, the pessimism off, we'd say if you got a guy who could score and a good goaltender, you could steal a couple games in the playoffs, maybe steal a couple rounds. I want to go to DB Maven first on this.
The way they're playing right now, I don't see it. There's all the stuff that everybody has talked about. Paulie said it. Mandar said it. Dagoon has said it. You know, the bottom line is there's no toughness. Their blue line is not tough enough, and you're not seeing it out of the forwards. So as of right now, if I had to predict, I would say if they get in, it's one round.
Okay.
Okay,
James?
Because there's not tough enough.
Right.
Yeah, we have no toughness anywhere. I've been listening to the show pretty much all night, and what everyone's saying is totally, you know, right on the money. We need toughness. I mean, and we need guys to jump in when there's a problem. Just like they said, somebody gets run in Montreal, everybody's out, you know, taking care of their own. Our captain goes down, everybody looks around, and a little shove here and there, and we don't do anything. So, I mean, if we had some toughness, I'd say yes. Maybe we could add it at the trade deadline, but if not, I don't see it happening either.
Ricky, the new internet friend of the Ranger fan, all of the message boards, they love him now. Rick, what do you think about the whole situation, that scenario that I painted?
I think, first of all, I love Henrik Lundqvist. I think he is a great goalie. He's not, in my opinion, he's not elite, but I think he's great. I don't think we make the playoffs. I think we're going to miss out unless there's a trade for this team to get some heart and an injection of guys that will grind it out, a Burrows-type player, a Kuntz, you know, somebody like that. We're not going to make the playoffs. We're going to miss the playoffs. We're going to finish ninth.
Okay. Let's go down to Mandaw.
They're built for the regular season. They're not built for the playoffs. I think they get in. I don't think that they have what it takes to go all the way in terms of being able for that playoff grind. Remember, 94, we won. We had some really tough guys out there. We had Koser, but what did we get rid of at the trade deadline? We got rid of Gartner, a finesse player, right? And we got back grit guys that were there that really grinded us out and got us to go far. So I think we're a playoff team, but I don't think we're built for the long playoff grind.
All right. And wait a minute, we've got a surprise caller. Jim from Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Jim, are you there?
Hello from Dallas, Texas.
Wow. Nice. He's in Dallas, Texas, on assignment. I hope you didn't listen to the beginning of the show because there was nothing to listen to. We had problems with Skype. And the first 10 minutes of the show were a carnival of errors, but everything has been rectified. The boat has been righted, and we had Kevin Miller on, and since then everything has gone smoothly. So how's everything in Dallas?
Dallas is Dallas. The weather is nice. Just got back from dinner at a place with just unbelievably gorgeous women. I couldn't believe it. It was like it was just unbelievable. Anyway, had a nice dinner and just got back in time to call in and say hello and see how it's going. And now I know.
Well, no, it started off shaky, but we, again, we have succeeded where others have failed, and the show must go on. So it has gone on. It's been very good so far. Now that we got 5 callers on the line, phone calls coming out the yin-yang tonight, this is my question, and this is what's been rumored, and Sather has confirmed it. We got 5 minutes left. So if you guys can take 30 seconds apiece, I'm going to start with you, Jim. Peter Forsberg. Is Peter Forsberg the answer? I mean, I'll give you my take on it. This guy hasn't played the NHL in 3 years. I don't know what he is. I don't want any older guys. I want youth or I want toughness. What do you think?
Well, I don't know if he's the answer, but if they can keep him healthy long enough to get him on a plane to New York, and he could probably help. Let me put it that way. Is he the answer? No. Is he the difference between the third round and the second round of the Stanley Cup Finals? No, absolutely not. But I think he could help, sure, especially now. It's all hands on deck. I think Kelly Kissio is playing center on Thursday night for us.
Captain, maybe they would have stood up for him. All right, Dagoon, where is your stand on Peter Forsberg, Dagoon?
The guy's legendary, but I think he's fragile. You know, I would love to see him here, actually. I think the guy, has got heart. I think he's got, hands. Maybe he could feed Gabby a couple times, and, Gabby hits 50, but it's a matter of could he stay healthy. If he's healthy, I would love him here. If not, he's just a waste of money.
Mando, what's your take on Peter Forsberg?
Bring him. He's a winner. He's a leader. That kind of talent, even though he's 3 years removed, Forsberg's a special kind of player, always was definitely a leader. I take him right now. I take him for the rest of the year.
James, what's your take on Peter Forsberg?
Forsberg would help get us into the playoffs, but I don't know if he'd last in it, especially with the grind every night and the hitting and banging in the playoffs. So, I mean, like I said, he could help us in get us in there, but I don't think he'll help us while we're there.
Okay, DB Maven, what's your stand on Pete Forsberg?
I'm neutral, and I think that if
what
history
you,
plays
you
any...
What are you, Sweden or Switzerland?
Yeah.
Neutral?
Exactly.
How about the voice of reason not having an opinion?
Neutral on him because I'm not sure he's healthy enough to play, okay? But what I was going to say is, given that this is Glenn Sather and the
Uh-oh.
History, he's going to be here.
Yeah. Got a good point.
So's Jure.
The guy's 79 years old. He'll bring him here. The guy's after his career is done, he'll bring him here. I think that's a good point. We got only 2 minutes left in this show of I got to say.
Am I chopped liver?
What, you got more to say?
All right, well, you missed me on the playoffs. I don't think the Rangers make the playoffs, unfortunately, Mal. And the reason being is everybody made the
point.
We don't have enough.
Well, if you're going to be bad, you might as well be really bad.
I don't have that one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You guys are running out of time.
All right. All right, but what do you stand on Forsberg, Paulie D?
I think I honestly think it wouldn't be that bad. Again, if he can stay healthy, is absolutely the perfect the perfect scenario. But I think he might take a little bit of heat off the Gabrick line if we can put him on a line two somewhere. But I doubt it's going to happen, guys. I don't know that the NHL is going to. I don't know that he's going to make it back to the NHL, and you got to think about the cap. What kind of money is he going to be looking at?
I think he's going to look. You're looking at like Tyler Arneson money. All right, guys. Blue Shirt Banner Radio, another one in the books. Jim, I hope everything's good. I hope the women continue to be very comely looking, to use a big college word. Not homely, comely.
Either way.
Anyways, stay tuned tomorrow. We're going to have Carrie Wilson. Me and Paulie D are going to do this show. That starts at 9 and ends to 11. The big show is Friday at 8 p.m. Theo Fleury, that'll be me and Jim Schmiedeberg, who's enjoying the female sights down in Texas. Once again, I thank you so much for joining us here on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. I thank to all the guys who contributed, DB Maven, Paulie D, Dagoon, Manda, everybody I left out because I can't remember at this moment, Jim Schmiedeberg, James. I love you all. You guys always make the game, the program a great time for me. Take care, Ranger fans, and I'll see you at the movie.
Mouth, you still there?
Yeah.
So, what happened? You had a Skype problem?
Yeah, I couldn't hear anything. I couldn't hear the callers. I couldn't hear the lady say after like 6 minutes warning me, she went dead. Then I thought
we can hear you though. That's the thing. We could hear you.
Yeah, but if I can't hear who I'm talking to, it really.
And I know it was really strange.
So I had to call in from landline.
Huh.
I'm like, I have to go. I'll be right back. It was really bad. But Kevin Miller took it well. It's really good.
Well, was he? He was good?
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Excellent. Good to hear. So,
where'd you go? Jim the Hooters?
No, we went to this place called Cadillac Ranch. And we walk in and it was just, I mean, it was just a bevy of gorgeous women, and all the guys that are in this group that I'm here with were just like, holy crap, what the, why did we come here last year? Last year we were stuck in some, dingy restaurant with no room, and this year we're, it was like Coyote Ugly. It's beautiful.
So, Rick, what's going on? We got the confirmation on this Brashear migraine thing, or what?
I'm telling you, my sources, which is a couple minor league players that are close with him from when they played up in Quebec a couple years ago during a strike, they're telling me that he's suffering from migraines, that it has nothing to do with his hand. His hand is fine. And he was told not to fight, and that's why he played against Minnesota, and you can clearly see Bugard challenge him. And Brashear mouthed to him, I can't fight. And, there's definitely something going on there.
Great.
It's ridiculous. I just wanted to give you a heads up, Mouth. Tomorrow I'm dropping those discs in the mail for Frank Beaton.
Oh, great. Yeah, he emailed me about him. He's really excited about it. And that's a really nice solid. I'm going to tell him, drop a note to him and say, you're the guy who did it. I don't want him to take the credit for it. Just, say.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. And I'm sure.
I just sent some stuff out for him at Costopoulos, and I'm probably going to get Chris down to my new store to do a signing. We're going to work on a free date for him.
Yeah, let me know when you do that. We'll try to work a live remote.
Oh, I'd love that. That'd be awesome. Yeah, that would be great. I just signed a deal yesterday. As a matter of fact, it's going to be some big news in a couple months. I'll put out a release. We partnered up with Dwight Gooden. And Dwight's opening a huge baseball and football.
Now.
Yeah, we're selling coke now. Donnie Murdoch's coming in to handle the weed end of it.
I'm glad because I can't catch up to Don Murdoch. I think he's on meth.
And Kevin Stevens is bringing the wimp.
Troy Millett was a great guy, Mouth. When we were kids, we were the same age. When he came into the Rangers, I was 18 years old also. And we used to go to games, and we used to laugh because he'd ask us what we were doing afterwards, and we'd be like, what do you mean? And he's like, well, I can't drink. I'm too young. I can't go to the bar with the guys.
Ah.
And we used to go and watch fight tapes with him and hang out with him. We used to go to a couple places in the city that would pop the VHS tapes in for us and give us a little booth in the back and eat pizza and hang out with the guy. And it was actually pretty funny because he was too young to drink. He couldn't hang out with the guys.
Very cool.
Yeah. I was going to tell Jim, I got an email from Troy Millett today. He said he'd do the show.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, he wrote me a nice email, and since he's very busy, but he wants to do it. So,
and you got Joe Patterson coming, huh?
Yeah, we're starting to get the tough guys. And Greshner, we got on tap. He's supposed to get back to me, and Gilles Vellemure, and we're having them all. We're doing good so far. And I appreciate you, calling in and adding your thing. And I love how you're becoming You went from enemy to hero over there at HS.
Oh, all of a sudden I'm popular. I'm getting emails and people telling me, you know, I'm giving you another chance. This is great. It's like, you know, come on, I can run for election over there now. You know what? Seriously, man, it's a little thin line, but Tortorella is just too much sometimes. The bitch and the moan and the screaming. And then you see your guy just laid out on the ice, unconscious. The guy's got a concussion. And you got guys like Avery were out there. Girardi was out there. Even Redden can throw down. And it's not a matter of winning or losing. Just go out and stick up for your own teammate, you know. I mean, Jan Eriksson would have jumped in. That's how disgusting it is at that point. It's like somebody's just got to show that we're a team, you know.
I agree with you. I mean, I think anybody, you're starting to see, I know you had an axe to grind with Tortorella, or you just didn't think he was a good fit, which, I totally respect that opinion. And
I didn't think he was a fit first. You know, I want to just say that to you because you know
right.
What happened with us. I complained about him the day he was hired. I said he was a horrible
right.
choice. You know,
no,
and then
no,
I had
right.
a run-in with him, you know.
But you're gonna realize that the Rangers are going to win and lose, and when they're winning, everybody's going to be Tortorella's great. You know, it's not like they're going to be in a perpetual losing streak. I mean, they're going to win some games. They win these next couple games against if they lose these next two games. They're playing two teams I think they should beat in Atlanta and Ottawa. But if they lose, then you're going to see, okay, what's going on with Tortorella? We hear one thing, but something else is happening completely on the ice.
Yeah. Ottawa scares the crap out of me, man, because you talk about a team that will take runs at people. Chris Neal and Karkner and these guys just have no respect. And, you know, Calgary was bad the other night, which I called. I said Calgary and Edmonton were going to beat us up physically bad. But I think we really got to watch with Neal. You know, it used to be Orr would go out and Neal would run away, and that would be the end of Neal for the night. Now we got nobody. What are we going to put Varos out? Varos will get eaten.
He's horrible.
Well, Ottawa played him really tough the first game or the second game of the season. I thought Ottawa pushed him around pretty good that night.
I just, I'm serious. I'm not even, when I joke about Varos, I think he's the most useless Ranger since Alexei Kucherov. I really think, he's so blatantly bad, I can't see why he plays. He has nothing. Nothing. And I'm not even, it's a pure seriousness. No joking. I
was shocked to see Tortorella put him back in after those two bad penalties.
Oh, yeah. Anybody else pays the price.
Yeah.
I mean,
you want to hear a funny Aaron Varos story? He has a tattoo on his arm of the number 40. He said that he wore it all his life. It was like a number he wore in football and baseball, and then when he played hockey, he took the number 40. He has it tattooed on his arm. So I'm sitting next to him at the signing, and I said to him, Aaron, why do you wear 34 if 40 is your favorite number? And his answer was, I don't want to ask to change. Like, that's just his personality. He's the Spicoli of the Rangers. I don't know if you've ever had a conversation.
I'm eating pizza and learning about Cuba.
He may be the dumbest human being I've ever met, and I'm really not trying to be funny.
You know, that explains a lot. But it doesn't surprise you.
Is it written in Elvish? only Mandal would get that joke. You know, a stupid guy who has a tattoo that's written in Elvish, even though... He doesn't read Elvish or know Elvish or even anything. So, Kari Wilson tomorrow and Theo Fleury Friday. Theo is going to be interesting. And we actually, me and Jim actually managed to get E.J. Raddick, who was really cool with us.
Yeah, that'll be a great night, too.
Yeah, he was really, he straight up told us the Rangers are really not going to be much. I mean, you know, and he knew we were, you know, Jim was wearing his Ranger stuff, and, you know, we're telling him we do a Ranger show, and he was like, how are you going to compete with the Malkins and the Crosbys out there, and, you know, when you got Sidney Crosby?
He's never been a Ranger guy anyway, but
he's an Islander fan anyway.
He's got,
oh, well, what are you going to do? It'll still be fun to talk to.
Oh, I can't say because we're still, but screw Deb Kaufman. She freaking gives me the cold shoulder. I don't even know why I want her on that show, that dumb bitch.
She wants you to be Ellen Stalker.
Do you guys have like a library or a lot of games? You know what I'm looking for was the year we came back from the strike and the Rangers did the interviews with the fans and everything on what you did before, you know, with the strike and how you did everything opening night. they did like a 6-minute piece with me that they played, and I was actually at the game and never got a tape of it. And I've been writing to MSG for like 4 years, and nobody even writes back. You know, it's like
you
amazing.
You have the date of the game?
I'll get the date. Yeah, it was the first game back after the strike.
Email me with the date. You know, I do a lot of collecting. You know, I have all these Ranger games. Write me the date, and I'll see if somebody's got the game. Whether they have the whole thing, I don't know.
Right.
A lot of times they edit a lot of it out, but if it's – what year are we talking about, 95?
No, the next strike.
Wait, what, 2004?
2004, that was it.
Yeah, well, then most likely somebody's got the whole game then if it's 2004. Yeah, let me know.
Okay, I definitely will. I'll shoot you an email because I never got my hands on it, and they don't return friggin' phone calls or emails.
No, they don't do anything over there. MSG is a lame brain operation. All right, guys, take care. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate it. Jim, have a safe trip. Have a lot of fun down there.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Okay,
good night,
take
guys.
Care.
Good night, guys.
Good.
Bye.